restrictions on them, you know. In God's policy, in his guarantee, there are restrictions mm-hmm. to what the enemy can do to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the enemy can come in, but the Spirit of God will lift up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said that the weapons may form up,
yeah.
but they can't prosper. This is the promise of God.
Thank you, God.
He said not only is it to restrict, but it also means to object.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like when the lawyer is in the courtroom and in the midst of the trial, he stands up and objects.
Yeah.
Right?
In your trial, how many times have God stood up and said, I object? Come on. How many times have the devil said, it's time for you to go? But God stood up and said, I'm so glad that my grandma said that I have a lawyer that's never lost because he objects for me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I can't preach it like I feel it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, I want you to look at it. It was in our devotional reading today. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, actually. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, the true cost of following Christ. The true cost of following Christ. This reading begins back in the 13th verse of this 16th chapter of St. Matthew's, and Jesus comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks a very probing question. He asks, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It was a question that was posed to bring out the real answer of what Jesus knew was in the heart of his disciples. And that answer was, they did not know. He asked what is called a roundabout question to get to the question that he really wanted to know. Who do you say? I've heard the gossip. I've heard through the grapevine. I've heard what busybodies say. But now I want to know those of you who have been following me for some 3 years now, who do you say I am? Because you who have been close to me should have a different perspective of me. You should have an insight to me that is very different from those who are on the outside looking in versus those who are inside looking out. And so they could not respond. Peter answers the question, thou art the Christ. What is the Christ? The Christ is the anointed one of God, the one God promised to give to his people. The Son of the living God. He's being very clear, very methodic in answering this question, and there's a very good reason for this. It's not coming from him. Jesus said, you said it well, Peter, because you didn't answer this question, but my Father, which is in heaven, gave you the answer. And he said, listen, upon this rock, upon this truth that you've just spoken, that I am the Christ, I will build my church. He ain't built his church on Peter. He didn't build it up on Peter's faith. He built it up on Peter's confession. Thou art the Christ. There is nothing else Christ could have built his church up on but himself. He is the rock of rocks. He is that steady foundation. He is that one that God himself has given to us, whereby we can know the Father better and come to the Father through him. Remember, he is the rock, that stone that the builders rejected. He is the one that God has made clear is the only way to him. And so when he tells him that, Jesus goes on to tell him, listen, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be. What does all of that mean? It meant very simply, the keys meant the principles of God's word. Hear me well. The keys represent the principles of God's word. Anything you say from the word of God on earth, God is obligated in heaven to do it, because what you're doing is confirming his word on earth as it already is in heaven. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So when we say amen to the word of God, that excites God that you know what he's saying. He does it not based on what you say, but what he has said that you have said amen to. It's like putting a key in the lock. It's going to unlock it. Or if you got a deadbolt and you turn it and lock it, he's going to lock it in heaven. In other words, he's going to do what you confirm in your life, what he said he'll do. That simple. And so he goes on, and then he tells him, listen, I've got to suffer many things and die, et cetera, et cetera. And then Peter said, oh, no, be this far from you, Lord. Jesus said, wait a minute, Peter, hold up here. God just got through using you. Now the devil done started using you. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? I be this far from me. Jesus was making clear, this is the reason I've come here, man. All of this is a prelude to this grand moment. And you say, be this far from me, this is not going to happen to me. Get thee behind me, who? He called him out. He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. But he said, get behind me, meaning that you will not get in front of the plans that God has for me. Amen. Behind me means that you lose. I'm going to win by completing my assignment. All right, God. Then he goes on to say to his disciples, if any man will come after me, he puts it in perspective now. If any man, meaning you, my disciples, or any other person who chooses to come after me, who chooses to be like me, who chooses to come into that light and truth, here's what you got to do. Three things. One, deny yourself. Two, take up your cross. And three, follow me. One, two, three. Simple. But he starts off with the most difficult thing of all. Denying one's self. He immediately goes against the grain of nature. What is the first law of nature? Self-preservation. Put uno number one first. And Jesus said, if you want to come after me, the first thing you got to do is get your biggest problem out the way. And that's yourself. That means to take your will and put it behind my will. Not put your will before my will. And listen, my brothers and sisters, with any of us, our will is the most important thing to us. You can sit here and act all holier than thou if you wanna, but you think about how many folk that you are willing to put before you as an act of your will, your volition, your desire. And I can tell you it'll be few and far in between. Because some of us can't see anybody being put in front of us. So he deals with the first and most important reality in one's life, and that is self. Self, self. But here's something else he goes on to say. Because if you don't recognize this is in what's called a progressive order, that you will never understand. If you can't get past step one, you'll never get to step two. If you can't get past you, then you'll never get to the point of picking up. Then after you get past you, then you can take up your cross. Take up your cross. Now, what Jesus is making clear to us, and I think we need to understand, if we first discover that we can pay the true, true cost of following Christ, which is denial of ourselves, that is the cost, denial of ourselves. In other words, that means that everything you want to do, desire to do, put in front of you that pleases you must come after you've taken care of his business. How many of us naturally have a propensity to do that? No. Our flesh wars against our spirit. Every day, in every way, Paul made it clear there is a war going on in my flesh. My flesh warring with my spirit. And I listen, if I'm going to be real with you, I war every day, all day, with my flesh versus my spirit. Even this morning, I warred with getting up out of my bed. Now, I know you all jumped up with your mind on Jesus and was all happy. And, oh, it's church time. Let's go to church. Yeah, I have those moments. But every now and then in my humanity, I have to fight with my flesh. No, we going to get up out of this bed. We going to get down on our knees. We going to pray. We going to take our shower. We going to do all that stuff. We going to get ready, and we going to get out of here. Out of here. Out of here. And we are going to praise the Lord, whether you like it, flesh, or not. I talk to myself sometimes. Because Sister Montgomery is already going getting dressed. I'm like, look here, what you going to do? It's up to you, sir. What you going to do? The spirit be like, listen, he ain't got no wants. This thing is settled. It's all about getting moving. And listen, why? Because we can talk ourselves into things, and we can talk ourselves. How many times have you made yourself? How do you feel? Well, how do I feel? Flesh say, well, I feel like staying in my bed. I don't feel like getting up right now. No. Spiritually, how do you feel? I feel like praising him. See, the spirit is always... Yes, willing and ready to praise God because it's of a spiritual nature that God deals with you. But it's that flesh that has to agree with the spirit. And you have to make the deciding rule. We are or we are not. And what you got to know, my brothers and sisters, is it's a cost every day in making the right choices. It means that you have to push beyond your flesh to let your spirit have the ruling reign. It's not an easy thing. Have I got any real witnesses in the house? It's not an easy thing. That's the cost. But then the cross comes after the cross. And the cross, there are three things connected with that cross that makes this thing so real in following Christ. The first thing is your role as a follower of Christ. Remember, after you have denied yourself, it's not about you anymore. It's about whose you are. It's about the role that you now assume as a follower of Christ. Your role means that there are things that are expected of you as a follower of Christ. First is your role. What is your role? Well, your role is to become like him. Your role is to be a mini Jesus, a micro Jesus in your thoughts, in your walk, in your giving, in your living. You are to be like him. That's my role, to be like Christ. Like him. Secondly, in my role, I have a responsibility to bear my cross. My cross. Now, be careful that you're not bearing or desiring to bear someone else's cross. Your cross, remember this, in your role is customized for you. My cross may be different from your cross because your cross is customized for you to carry. If you can't bear my cross, it's because you were not meant to bear what was meant for me. And I'm not meant to bear your cross. But I am, and you are, and we are responsible for bearing our own cross. You can't play your role and not bear your cross. Because a part of playing your role is picking up your cross. That means play your role, take responsibility. And the last part of that is going to probably, I don't know, mess with you a little bit. Because when you play your role, pick up your cross, taking your responsibility on to you to do your responsible, accountable part, then you have to do it, thirdly, with what's called rhythm. Rhythm. Hadn't heard that word in there before, had you? Rhythm. What does that mean? It literally means movement. It means you take up your cross and don't stand still. It begins the fellowship that follows in the third point. Rhythm means that you have to get your cross up on you and get it where you are able to begin making steps forward. Listen to me well. When you take your cross upon you, it is not your responsibility to throw it on your shoulder and stand there and just look around. What you have to do is you have to work with your cross until your cross becomes comfortable for you. Somebody didn't understand that. Let me help you understand. You got to bear it. It's been customized for you. You might as well get used to it. How do you get used to it? You put it on. Anybody ever tried on some new shoes? When you put on the shoes, did you just put them on and sit there? No. Not people with good sense. They know just having them on the feet ain't all there is to it. What do you start doing? You start walking. And if you walk like you normally walk, you walk with what's called a rhythm or a cadence. In other words, you walk like you are going somewhere. And so when you take up your cross, you've got to begin walking in the direction of somewhere like you've already seen Jesus do. I wish I had a helper in the house. And then when you get to the third point, you not only have the cost and you not only have the cross, but you have, thirdly, the compliance. The compliance. What does comply mean? It means to adhere to. It means to act. It means to acquiesce. It means to surrender to a rule or a reign or a request. In Jesus's case, it means to surrender to his word, his will, and his way. Yes. Compliance. Yes, yes, yes. Follow me means to comply with his word. Comply with his will. Comply with his way. You can't comply with his word till you deny yourself. You can't comply with his word till you become responsible and take up your cross. You can't comply with his will till you deny yourself. You can't comply to his will until you pick up your cross and become responsible. You can't follow him, his way, till you deny yourself. You can't follow his way till you take up your cross, meaning you are bearing your responsibility, following him, mimicking him, doing what he said, becoming every step more like him. And that is a cost, my brothers and sisters, that does not come cheaply. That's why you've got to realize that being a disciple of Christ is much different than being a member of a church. Unfortunately, we've got too many members of churches and not enough disciples of Christ. A member of a church follows their own desire to follow Christ, which is sometime it. It's fickle. It's dependent on what they're going through. It depends on what pleasures them that may arise during church time, where they make a decision, no, I think I'm going to go to this game instead of going to church. Or I think I'm going to go play golf today instead of going to church. I'm going to do this or that or whatever the case. No, I'm just going to enjoy myself the day I catch church another time. See, it's a thing of convenience. It's a thing of convenience. It's where you do what the flesh wants you to do versus what the spirit wants you to do, because you have not paid the cost of following Christ by denying yourself. No, it don't fit into my schedule today. I've got better, but maybe you would not say that if you got any kind of Christianity, and you wouldn't say I got better things to do than going to church and worshiping the Lord or serving the Lord or whatever you want to call it. But you might say, I have other things that I need to attend to. Can I ask you a question? What is more important that you have to do than following Christ? As a believer, as a disciple, what is more important to you than God's agenda for you? What have you prioritized above God that you can depend on when you need that something to deliver you, that something to help you, that something to bless you, that something to heal you, that something that can only bless you, help you, deliver you, bring you to that place you need to be, but God? What is it that you can turn to that can do what God can do? So then why would you put that ahead of God? Because if you put him first, can I tell you, he'll take care of everything else you've got to deal with after him. But we don't see it that way because we've not paid the cost of following Christ.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org.